We want to start off reading Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. So this is a story of Mary and Martha. Many of you might know it. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not even care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." The Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So, when I was a kid, I often ate tons, like an absurd amount. Like, I'd take a man-sized plate and just shovel it back, and then like look around to make sure everyone was still eating, and then pile on some more, and then shovel it down. And if there was a little bit left, I would throw a little bit more on my plate and shovel it back down. And it was almost looked down upon at a family meeting or gathering like Thanksgiving or Christmas if I didn't have like 3 man-sized plates as a kid. And this also translated into eating chips with my family while watching movies. So we'd have this bag of chips, and it was this secret war between my siblings that whoever got to eat the most chips won. So we would take these giant handfuls of chips. It wasn't like kid-sized hands. Somehow we managed to grab man-sized handfuls and just shovel them back. And then if we finished before our other siblings, we'd sneak our arms across and grab the bag of chips and pour it out into our lap. Now, what does this have to do with this passage you're asking? Well, I just thought I would share this story because it was kind of funny in my head, but no. We are talking about the good portion today, and often Jesus is called the bread of life. So that sounds like a pretty good portion. And what does the story have to do? So even though it seems a little bit silly, but that seemed to influence a lot of my life, this need to gorge myself with good things. If the meal was good, man, did I eat it? Did I shove it back? Or if, man, was that friend amazing? I would spend all my time with that friend. I never left that friend's side. We'd go everywhere together, which was great in some ways. But sometimes it was leaving my family behind, and they would not see me for days at a time. That was an exaggeration, but I would go and just hang out with my friends and spend tons of time with them, and I kind of lost connection with my family in that way, and sometimes. But this led to other types of gorging of social media, of TV, video games. Man, was I ever good at that. Sit down, play 17 hours of video games. Man, was I happy. Actually, I felt gross afterwards, but So I would go and just find all these things that I could gorge myself on, whether it be video games, social media, friends, food, addictions, and it just kept going and going and going until it came to worse things than video games and social media, things with alcohol and parties, and it just escalated and escalated and escalated until one day I was like, I feel like I'm just filling myself and getting empty every time. That often in our lives we look at this giant hole inside of ourselves and like, what's around me that I can fill it with? Netflix. We'll put lots of that in there. It'll fill it. And maybe for like 2 days, if you're good, you can survive on Netflix. But in reality, that's a Jesus-sized hole that you need to fill, a hole that Netflix obviously won't fill. So, what does it mean to be, what is the good portion? A good portion of food, what does a good portion mean? So, I took a deeper look into that, and the word portion here in the Greek refers to something that is an inheritance. It's not just a plate of food. It's an inheritance that you're given as an heir, as a son, that this portion is so incredibly important to us because it's given to us freely through grace, and that is just incredibly amazing. And I'm going to read from Psalm 16 now. 16 verse, where is this? 5 to 6. It says in Psalm 16 that the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen before me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. That this portion that we look at is an inheritance. And then we look at that, and what does that even mean? What does it mean to have this inheritance, this good portion? What does it mean to receive a gift of grace? In particular, this gift of grace that is Jesus. So, the first point I want to make, I'll be going through a few points, but the first point I want to make is that is a free gift of grace, something that we can't obtain, we can't strive for, we can't bite through everything to be like, yes, I have now obtained this inheritance, it is mine. But it's something that God lays out before us. And I just want to look at Romans 8. Many of you probably have heard this, but in Romans 8, 12 to 17, it talks about that we are led by the Spirit of God, that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you do not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs or co-heirs with Christ, provided that we suffer in order that we may also be glorified with him. So this inheritance, this good portion, is something that is given to us by God because we are children of God. But we can't forget that in this good portion, we can't take it lightly because God's grace isn't cheap. It's not a cheap grace, it's a costly one. And it's one that we have to choose to take and look at and say, I will take that rather than not. But often we decide not to. So what does that look like? That when we say, no, I don't want that. I got some Facebook over here. This is nice. Jesus, this Facebook is better than you. It's telling me all about my friends and how much I suck. I'm going to keep eating it. I don't want you. But we need to remember that Jesus is not going to then spit us back out like hours of binging on social media will. Because I don't know about you, but if I spend all that time doing whatever, that doesn't have Jesus involved with him. I just want to go, because I feel gross. But what does that look like? So my second point that I'm going to look at is Jesus is this bread from heaven that is given to us, that it's for our daily needs. And I want to look at John 6, 30 to 40. And in John 6, it talks about Jesus being the bread of life, that all those who come to him will not hunger and will not thirst. But it also talks about that he's the bread of life from heaven. And so often I think of that, Jesus alluding back to, even directly alludes to the bread of heaven with the Moses times and the wilderness. That during those times, God had led the people of Israel into the wilderness because they kind of screwed up and were like, I don't want to go to the promised land. It's scary. But in God's immeasurable grace, he sent bread from heaven every morning, which I always find ridiculous that the people of that time were like, magic bread on the ground again. I don't want that. And that and birds would fall from the sky for them, and they would still say, I don't want that either. But so often we do this to Jesus. It's like, get up in the morning. I don't want to spend time with Jesus. He's here all the time. It's not as fun as doing other things. But he is our daily bread, our daily manna. The bread that we take every morning to move one step after the other, that sustains us, that we take a step at a time. We wake up in the morning, it's like, oh, one more step. Jesus, okay, there we go. And there are seasons of wilderness that often feel like we're just limping along one step at a time, inching closer to whatever we're going towards, which often we don't know. And that third point, that Jesus is the bread that sustains us every day, that manna on the ground that we have to choose and pick up and walk with. That often when we're in our wilderness seasons, we look around us and try and feed ourselves with the dirt and the sand and run towards the mirages. And we're shoveling the sand back and we're just getting more thirsty and more hungry when there's a whole bunch of bread on the ground, bread from heaven. But not only is Jesus the bread that sustained us every single day that we have to walk in and choose to eat, but Jesus is the bread that brings us new life and brings us healing. That says in the Bible that Jesus is our sustainment of life, and he brings us from glory to glory. And as we eat of this bread of life, of this Jesus, we often forget that it's not only for our day-to-day, but it's to bring us and make us new. That in John 4, it talks about the Samaritan woman at the well. And Jesus goes to this well. I'm sure most of you know this story. And he goes to the well and asks the Samaritan woman, "Hey, could I get some water?" And she's like, "Why would you want water from me? I'm a Samaritan." And Jesus replies, "If you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water." And then he goes on, I'm paraphrasing a bit right now, but he goes on and asks where her husband is. And she, in my mind, she kind of gives him this odd look, like, "Who are you?" And says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus is like, "You're right. You've had multiple husbands." In that moment, Jesus, the bread of life, or in this case, alluding to being the water of life, but we'll keep it in that area, speaks into a deep place of her heart and looks deep down in there and sees what is hurting and what is broken and what needs Jesus to fill. So he reaches down into there and fills that place, that this bread of life is the bread of life that we choose and we eat, but it brings us new healing. It repairs our brokenness, repairs our hearts. So Jesus is the bread of life. It's an inheritance. It's not something that we can obtain for ourselves. He's the bread that allows us to walk day to day, week to week. He's also the bread that gives us new life in those broken places and moves us along. And I want to, before we finish this, but I want to go back to Romans. And at the end of the passage, this passage sounds all great and lovely and fluffy. It's like, yeah, we're children of God, and this is great, and this is awesome, and we're doing all well. And then we get to the end of the passage, and it says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. That this isn't, like I said before, this isn't a cheap grace, but a costly one. That when we choose to partake in the spread of life, it gives us so much life and allows us to go day to day, but never promises that we'll have a good day, that our days will be perfect and happy and lovely all the time, but that we'll be, our souls will be safe, and that Jesus will draw us close and comfort us in those times and lead us on more and more. That eating this choice of bread of life is a costly one. That it takes you from what you might think are the more convenient, the smarter decisions, the decisions of safety, like to preserve yourself and all your wealth and your things and your stuff. But this is a bread that we choose often that makes us want to leave our house and home, our security and comfort, our stability and wealth, for just a loaf of bread. But not just any loaf of bread. This is the bread of life. This isn't an empty hollow bread, a bread full of maggots and gross stuff, poison. This is the bread of life that fully satisfies us. That even though in some times, I'll admit, hanging out at Netflix is so much more fun, or feels like it, until I get to the end of it, I'm like, oh, that left me empty again. It's just an easy one to pick on. Don't feel too shamed if you watch Netflix. It just happens to be really easy to pick on. So this is the cost of discipleship. To leave all we know and give up what we think will satisfy us for that which will. Leaving everything behind in the pursuit of that which is our good portion, our Jesus. To look like fools for our gospel, the gospel of Jesus, because it promises so much more than wealth or security or the world ever could. Our souls will be safe, but we'll give up our earthly safety and time to sit at the feet of Jesus, our good portion, to sit at his feet like Mary. That we choose to sit at his feet even though it may feel like there's other things we should be doing. I have to mow my lawn this Sunday, but that seems better than church, right? Or just sitting at his feet and wanting to do that. Today we have the opportunity of participating in the Eucharist, and it's a very literal expression of partaking in the bread of life that God has so graciously given to us, that we get to participate in our good portion, in his body and blood. But as we go to that, I want you to think about, where have you seen yourself not choosing the good portion of Jesus, looking to other places, looking to things to fill you up, whatever that may be, this dirt, this mud, that the Bible calls us royalty, and I don't think I would ever see royalty eating mud. But we must go and choose the good portion, to partake of it, to give us life. And where do we see ourselves not doing that? That as we come to the table, let us think about that and contemplate. And ask Jesus how he can fill that and where he can fill it. That sometimes when we think about this, you get overwhelmed. You're like, oh, I have to read my Bible for like 5 hours a day? And no, that would be great if you could do that. That'd be amazing. But if, rather than looking to fill it with something like the Bible, which is a great thing, how about we look for something to fill it with that we enjoy? Something that we're not binging on, not trying to shove down our throats, but something that we love to do and do it with Jesus. Now for me, I absolutely love hiking. And every time I go out to hike, I get to encounter Jesus. Or how about with your kids? That you'd look at your children and say, I want to spend time with you like Jesus would. So I'd like to ask Chad to come to the table now so we may partake in our good portion.